The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Thank you for being here this Sunday morning. I'm going to be unconventional and dismantle the microphone because I've got one on here. To just keep spinning it around, Dave. This is a pre-sermon entertainment. It will be followed by a Scottish dance and then some Beatles songs just to offend the rest of the congregation. I suspect some of you might like the Beatles songs. Anyway, it's so good to be at the Sunday morning service here in Living Waters. It has been a year of ongoing change. In my own life and calling, there was such a sense of big changes ahead as 2017 moved into 2018. As you know, I have been functioning as a pastor back home in Glasgow, Scotland, for almost 5 years with the Assemblies of God, and that will continue. And the sense of calling to be a pastor is deepening and getting greater. But I begin a new career a week on Friday, flying to Hong Kong and moving into an appointment as a professor in New International University, a powerful academic expression going into the nations, especially third world nations, and bringing to many Christian students within those lands a fully accredited, high-quality information that will be vital for their own calling and, of course, their development within their homeland. So big changes are afoot, but I will still continue as a traveling prophet. I believe that call will be on my life for the rest of my days, and that is absolutely fine. It's been a joy to be part of Living Waters for 19 years. I was 30-something when I got here, and I'll be 59 in November. So you arrived with a youth prophet. I arrived as your youth prophet, and now I'm the old geezer who preaches when he's in town. Wow, we've been on a journey since Friday, establishing the bridgeheads, and we quite rightly had to unpack what it meant to establish the bridgeheads. What does it mean to be establishing bridgeheads? We've gone on a systematic journey. The best prayer we can ever pray in the kingdom is, Lord, let it begin with me. Let it begin with me. An act of idiocy is trying to be part of a distribution of ministry when we don't have that basic unction in the first place. So it's let it begin with me. We defined on Friday night what it means to be a bridgehead. Some very good dictionary definitions: a position held or to be gained on the enemy side. Any position gained that can be used as a foothold for further advancement. God will increasingly use militaristic terminology over this millennium because he has declared World War III on Satan and all his minions. We see that being played out on the earth right now. For that which is presently a stronghold of the enemy, where it would appear he has absolute sway and control, will come down as the Lord wins World War III. The truth is, he's already won it in the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. Last night we looked at establishing prophetic bridgeheads in the city, whether it be Elk River, the Twin Cities, or the city in which you reside. This morning we're going to look at a key component of establishing a bridgehead, not so much in the community, but the formation of a bridgehead at a horizontal level in the local church. You see, it begins with you and I. And we're going to look at a title called Spiritual Formation in Community. The book of Galatians writes in Galatians 4, verse 19, a simple verse, and this is the words of the Apostle Paul, "My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." A very simple text. And we always have to put a text into context, otherwise it can become a pretext. We always want to be a people of balance and communicating truth that attaches to the entire counsel of God. The church in Galatia, well, it had a rather interesting history. It received a very powerful heresy. And indeed, Judaism had infiltrated the church and created what historians have identified as the Galatian heresy. More importantly, Paul wrote a letter to the church at Galatia, identifying the heresy, but also proposing the solution. I love when God brings correction. Here is the issue that isn't the best of situations. Here is the divine solution. And in Galatians 5, God, through the Apostle Paul, exhorted the church in Galatia to walk by the Spirit and to enter into something called Christ formation that would produce the fruit of the Spirit in individuals' lives. Paul had a father's heart for the church in Galatia, "My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." He never said, "I'll send some more prophets over. They will prophesy the heresy away. I won't send evangelists over to scare everybody away. I won't pray for a revival and an outpouring. I won't pray for a more reformed Bible teacher to come in and lay accurate theological foundations." He said to the church in Galatia, my children, something's happening in me. I'm in labor, because in all of the heresy, in all of the struggles, Christ will be formed in you." That's another good prayer every day. Father God, form Christ in me, even though it causes the pips of my soul to squeak. Form Christ in me and make Christian discipleship more about you for the remainder of my life than all about me for the remainder of my life. Christ formation, spiritual formation, they're one and the same. This is taking place in the apostolic revolution that's happening in the contemporary church. This is something that's going on very deeply in our own minds and hearts. Meanwhile, in society, many secular commentators declare the church is on its last legs. Secularism has conquered. Well, I have bad news. for those who have come to bury the faith of our fathers. I have bad news for you, you cheeky little secular thing. Because the church, the true church, I'm not talking about the absurd church living in the values of secular liberalism whilst paying lip service to God and to His Word. I'm talking about the true church. The true church that is a repository of life of God among men. Where the life of God reposes in the hearts and minds of women. And that work is called spiritual formation and takes place in a New Testament community. Fellowship is a key purpose for creation. I think we religiousize things without being aware of it a lot of the time. Fellowship in Christian communities and even secular and civil society communities, civil society structures, is an inward response confirming what God created the human race. God is a God of fellowship. He is in fellowship with Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The outworking of that fellowship delivers something to the earth we acknowledge as God. In reality, God is more His job than who He really is. There are three individual members of the Godhead that enjoy total fellowship with one another, and on their business card, it says God. Jehovah, the Father, and underneath, God. Jesus, the Son, and underneath, God. The Holy Spirit, underneath, God. God loves community, and it begins with Himself, and then it's extended into the body of Christ. It's extended into communities all over the world, especially when men and women of goodwill gather together to enhance humanity and to do good works. Yes, good works will never save a person, but God will bless the good works that many organizations are part of. So, spiritual formation always takes place in New Testament community. We are the church, but we are an eternal church. A church that has learned much from saints who have gone on to be with the Lord in glory, century by century. And a church that is making space for the saints to come. A church that in the last analysis will be snatched up and be taken to glory by the very hand of God. The Lord takes spiritual formation very, very seriously. So we're going to unpack over the next 4 or 5 minutes what spiritual formation actually looks like. Our definitions are vital, otherwise we can go off at a tangent very quickly. What are true definitions of spiritual formation? Is there a relationship with discipleship? Are they one and the same? Discipleship is about following Jesus and growing in the Lord. At a local church level, it's often program-driven. Every local church has programs in operation designed for the purpose of discipleship, and so they should. We've all benefited from the programs in offer in our local fellowships. But spiritual formation is a broader concept. In spiritual formation, God undertakes and undergoes for us to bring you and I to maturity. We're tapping into God's resources to bring us to his likeness. It's what we do in pursuing this goal. On the one hand, we can be in every program the church offers, whether it's this church or the online church or the multimedia church. There's never been more opportunities for Christians to study. But moving into the likeness of Christ Jesus is an entirely different matter. We can go through many church programs and remain as immature in our faith at the end of the program as we were at the beginning of the program. The most precious aspect of our journey on earth is entering into Christ formation. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'm going to jump in with a theological thought. We're comfortable calling God Lord. We're comfortable calling the Father and the Son Lord. But do you know we can call the Holy Spirit Lord? It's a concept that many charismatic believers wrestle with. Three Lords, one God. And we'll do a little bit of fancy footwork in the realm of translation. Lord means Adonai, the great and majestic God. So from this moment on, when you're moving into charismatic and Pentecostal thinking, don't be shy and acknowledging the Holy Spirit as Lord. But we with all unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. This is good news. Goodness, this is even better than raising someone from the dead. It's far better than the Super Bowl. If you're watching the Super Bowl tonight, will you look more like Jesus during and after the Super Bowl? Or will your digestive system be working through copious amounts of popcorn, hamburgers, and Diet Coca-Cola? The power of spiritual formation as God gets involved in every area of our lives, 24/7. We looked at the function and reality of the human spirit during a conference, and you must be conscious of the fact that when we're asleep at night, when a soul is asleep at night, a spirit man is doing great business with God. Just like when we're on our laptops working and there's lots of programs running in the background. So when we're asleep, our spirit man is thoroughly engaged with the kingdom. God is all and in all. Let's look at the key elements of provision, because spiritual formation is not our idea, it's God's idea. This is what's at our disposal 24/7. The Spirit is the agent of formation. I encourage you to 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18 to the front of your memory. The Spirit is the agent of formation. That's where we lean the most, whether we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit or not. It's a leaning process that always results in spiritual formation. We need to see the spiritual life as a dynamic process. Dynamic, because any dynamic structure has moments where there's an ebb and then another moment where there's a flow. So we do everything every day with the thought of our lives essentially being spiritual in origin, and we are in a dynamic process that takes us on the battlefield. That's a dynamic process, especially in times of opposition. It's a dynamic process in times of overcoming. And it all takes place in the natural flow of life. This operation, it's organic in nature within our daily activities. It requires intentionality at our end. And spiritual formation has a more subtle word of instruction than discipleship. And please hold at the front of your mind right now a line running down the center. One side of the line, discipleship. The other side of the line, spiritual formation. When we're in the process of spiritual formation, it will lead us into spiritual disciplines. That's an entirely different subject. It's part of the journey. It's not one size fits all. It's evidence that spiritual formation is taking place in your life when you're identifying spiritual disciplines and, like a learner in childlike faith, taking hold of that spiritual discipline. The power of living under grace, the power of being liberated from the law, as we find our rhythms of grace in all of this. In fact, the more we develop in spiritual formation, we will become aware of the rhythms of grace day by day. We know there's a rhythm for our devotional life, but it may be at 7:30 p.m. instead of 6:45 a.m. Almighty God, we may desire that you leave the house in the morning with coffee in your tummy and a piece of toast in your mouth as you drive the car towards work, because it's not your rhythm. It's not your grace rhythm for a devotional life. We've all known moments when we've been dealing with situations. This is a good illustration of a rhythm of grace. 5 phone calls to make. The thought of calling any of the people on the list fills you with anxiety. You've been putting it off, and then suddenly a thought hits you. Do it now. 30 minutes later, get through the 5 phone calls and dealt with the business at hand and had a very positive interaction with all of the people that you discussed with. That's an absolutely splendid idea of hitting a rhythm of grace. The power behind rhythms of grace is simply the fact they're unforced. They're not propelled by human will. It's God's way of playing hide and seek with you and I. When we're trying to deal with the business of our own life, trying to get in the Word, trying to be an overcomer in prayer, and we're seeking God and He's hiding, we realize we're in acts of futility. We throw up our hands in desperation. Now I'll just do what I need to do. And suddenly, aha, there's a rhythm of grace to write that letter of apology. There's a rhythm of grace to get in the Word. A strong desire. I must listen to this specific Bethel worship CD. We put it on in the car, and by the time we arrive at our destination, we feel like we're in heaven. We know the Bible verse that says, For as many as sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. But see, we've religiousized that again. We've religiousized that Bible verse and struggled to make it real in a day-by-day experience. And the Lord is giving us detail about how it really works in our lives. Those unforced rhythms of grace. I don't think I could survive without my unforced rhythms of grace. I have been finding a new rhythm of grace on this trip for my own personal devotional life, and it's been fruitful. I've been finding an unforced rhythm of grace for my fellowship experience in Elk River and Big Lake. It's a journey of discovery. It's all bound up in identity. It's all bound up in our individual identity of who we are, but also what we are in corporate identity. The power of this apostolic reformation, and I've said this before, is when we see the great promises of the Scriptures become real in our life experience. We've all been prophesied over many times. And a dear brother handed me this morning a testimony of a prophecy I gave him that became real and fulfilled in his life experience. I'm going to read that testimony later, and I'm going to write back to my brother to thank him. That's good. That's very good. But it's not as powerful as the written Word of God becoming real and confirmed in our life at a foundational level. There's great promises God makes towards the church in Ephesians. Familiar verses like, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive with Him. Made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Could you imagine that being a corporate identity in this house? That when a stranger walks in the door, he doesn't need a little biblical dissertation of what's going on in the place. He is immediately overwhelmed by the power of God's great love. The presence of God's great love. Whether he's a born-again man or woman from another church community or a secular heathen, he or she is aware of this great big love, not as a spiritual experience, but a permanent structure in the corporate identity of this people. Yes. And then looking at the saints in worship, looking at the saints receiving the Word of God and thinking they're here, but they're not here. They're in another place. Even though they're here, they're in heavenly places. They're in another place. But yes, they're here. Spiritual formation always develops true identity and very quickly puts to bed for all time our sophisticated evangelistic strategies. So much powerful in the kingdom of heaven to be operating on a program of attraction rather than promotion. Carnal evangelism is always based on promotion. Holy Spirit-led evangelism is always based on attraction. Be encouraged, saints, that God will provide all the elements necessary for spiritual growth. For the Spirit is the Lord, and the Lord is in this church. And it's about what the Spirit will do in the community. The reality of spiritual formation does take on a tangible thought process, and will generally, in the fullness of time, impregnate a community with mission. Spiritual formation is much more about being a community of kingdom life, but inevitably leads to mission. When God calls us to serve Him, there's two thoughts that go through His mind: holiness and mission. You can't have one without the other. We are a people of holiness. It's not something we are attaining, it's who we are at the core of the new creation. That's why we can never enjoy sin. That's why the mere thought of sin at times is such an offense. That's why the temptation of sin gives us mental and spiritual paralysis. Holiness is not just a core value in the new creation. It's a core part of our individual and corporate identity. The goal of spiritual formation is to carry out the will of God. The will of God is usually delivered to the saints subliminally. It's something that comes in to the human spirit. The will of God is very seldom a thesis from heaven, read this and get on with it, report back to me the third Saturday of every month. We're talking about how God exercises His will upon the earth. If I'm reading kingdom progression accurately, we are inseminated with the will of God corporately and individually. And it's only when we're two-thirds into the process, our spirit man begins to communicate the truth to our consciousness. We're aware of it at that stage because there's often upheaval in our lives, but a perception of truth that burns in our spirits. But during the first two-thirds of the phase, sanctification is taking place. Sanctification is a major concern of God. Sanctification is not for the Victorian era. It's not for odd fundamentalist churches near you. Sanctification, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Called to be a people of holiness, not to fear holiness, but to embrace the process of sanctification when we're messing up the most, when we're at our angriest. The Desert Fathers, who have gone before us, men who lived in great holiness, speak of what they were confronted with when they were left in isolation for days and weeks. The horror of what arose from their souls being essentially jealousy and anger. Do you consider yourself an angry person? Do you consider yourself a jealous person? Be alone for a while and watch what begins to surface to the top of your life. It's not so much we need sanctification. God has provided total sanctification. It's not really that we need to go before God and give him an update in regards to how well we are being sanctified. It's much more about entering into the sanctification processes. That we can walk by the Spirit. A people who know the Spirit is the Lord and the Lord is the Spirit learn to walk by the Spirit. There's never been a more important time for the church to walk by the Spirit. For on one hand, the Lord is calling us to do so little. Yet on the other hand, he's bringing to us concepts that are in some ways blowing our minds apart and driving us to unbelief and saying, Lord, you're good and you're God and we love you, we adore you, yada, 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 yada. But this time, it's too big. This time, it's unworkable. Have you heard what the media is saying about you? Have you heard how we are being portrayed in sitcoms and movies? Weak, effeminate preachers. Walking by the Spirit can bring us into cycles of being thoroughly alarmed when we begin to discover who we really are. That curious mixture of the holy and the profane. Suddenly, that flippant sense of humor that we've lived in and walked in for many decades and has been okay. Well, we suddenly become aware of the fact it's not okay. We're not on a finger wagging from the Lord. He's showing us something better. Walking by the Spirit, revealing the motives of our hearts. Walking by the Spirit, beginning to see new movies in heaven's multiplex, where we say, Lord, it's amazing, but can this really be done? Walking by the Spirit, discovering who we really are. The greatest deception we live in as believers is this. Listen closely. The greatest deception we live in as believers is simply this. We believe we know who we are, and we believe we know who God is. The work of the Spirit in our lives is to reveal who we really are in the new creation and who God really is to us by revelation in the new creation. So I wrap this message up over the next 4 minutes before going into a short time of prophecy. I believe the Lord wants to give us 4 markers that we do absolutely nothing with other than ponder, consider. Reformation. It's all about a changing of the mindset and going forth in a new spirit. I've been tired of my charismatic faith a long time ago. In fact, I gave it up for Lent 1 year and never took it up again. I kind of see myself as a post-charismatic Christian because I gave up all the language and the verbiage and expressions and the immaturities of the charismatic faith that I once lived in and walked in and says, that just simply is not for me anymore. Now, God, I need to know you, more of you. God, you're enough. God, you're enough, even though I haven't a clue how I'm going to move forward. 4 markers. That will, in the fullness of time, be a catalyst for you and I to move into the depths of Christ's formation. But it's not so much about doing, it's all about being. We're incarnationists. We are incarnationists. We are containers of kingdom values and the very presence of God. Number two, we live a life where God is honored. Above all, we protect the honor of God's name in our thought processes, in our conversations. And while we do have a public face, yes, we do have to interact with ugly people. I had to confront a very ugly individual that exploded in my face a couple of weeks ago, someone I've known a long time, and I did confront biblically and appropriately. But we do meet ugly people out there, eh? People we would be glad to purchase a one-way flight ticket to a desert island. But as we're a people that honor God, let's pray in our own process of brokenness and Christ formation that we move in the compassionate face of God. Many Christians in the States believe God is judging America. God doesn't need to judge America. Sin practices are creating their own bitter harvest in America. God has a compassionate face for this nation. And it begins with the work of grace he does in you and I. We're not trying to be compassionate. We don't go into the office every day and say, "Hold it, guys, while I put on my compassionate face." My gaunt Jesus face with some babies floating around my head. The compassionate face of God is evidence of an individual going through Christ formation in the depths. Number three, being divinely dependent people. Some of your friendships will suffer because you're more dependent on people than you are in God. And we've all had to go through that. Sometimes we've been dependent on the wrong people who have created havoc and destruction in our lives. A divinely dependent people. And a commitment to being spiritually formed. The reality of committing to being spiritually formed is we really don't know what we're signing up for. If someone said to the young Joseph, after all the amazing dreams and experiences of God, "Now are you willing to commit to spiritual formation?" He either says, "Yes, no problem. This will result in my brothers worshipping me sooner rather than later. Bring it on." Look at Joseph's journey of spiritual formation. But didn't he look a lot like Jesus the other side of it? And wasn't he a man of incredible grace, wisdom, and intelligence? The other side of it. We'll conclude our conference tonight by looking at five different areas of what it means to be a Reformation people. All we've looked at this weekend will only happen amongst the people where there's a spirit of Reformation in evidence. And this has been a house of Reformation from the very beginning. It was in the seed of the church plant called Living Waters, and it's never ceased to be a house of Reformation. Now we'll have a brief time of prophetic ministry, and then we'll go home and have some eats. Looking forward to seeing you at 7 p.m. tonight for the final session of the conference. Tricia, can I pray for you, please? Why not? This is Tricia. You've gone through lots of spiritual formation, being blissfully unaware of it. "I have stretched your faith to the max, says the Lord, that something in you thought it was going to snap, The Lord says, child, I never promised you a pain-free journey. I promised you a victorious journey. And I'm taking you to a place right now where you are going to comprehend my lordship at a deeper level. My lordship is going to do three things in your life in this season. Number one, to cause you to dream again. The Lord says, the fossilizing of some dreams that kept you warm at night, fossilized, and they're coming back to life again. I'm calling the dreams in your heart to come back to life again. Number two, I'm going to give you a plan that's strategic in nature and will require you're engaging with another community that you're not part of at this time. And three, the apostolic's going to make a lot more sense to you. You understand it at one level, but it's enigmatic at another level. It's kind of crushed who you are as an intercessor, because it's challenged your theology as an intercessor. But the Lord says that I desire for the remainder of your life that the yoke you carry is gentle and the burden you carry is light. And that an apostolic foundation will enable you to live in lightness of spirit. And my work of grace within you is heightening your expectation levels this morning. I'm building faith in you to believe for the unexpected, even though you don't know what the unexpected is. The Lord is awakening your thought processes afresh. Women of God, that you go to a place, of thinking outside the box. You will plot your course. You will plan your journey thinking outside of the box. And keep priming, says the Lord, the worship pump. Keep priming, says the Lord, the desire for my presence. I have alleviated a lot of the emotional pressure from your life. No longer do you feel like you're splat in the middle of a battlefield. And there is a normalizing of relationships now, says the Lord. A normalizing of relationships. The permanent conflicted state of multiple relationships within your family are coming to an end, says the living God. It's because of your prayers. It's because of your mother's heart. It's because of the faith that you've exercised by the unction of my spirit that I have truly done this, says the living God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
God bless. Thank you. Thank you.
My pleasure. John and Debbie, come on down. Good to see you guys. Bless you, John. We thank you, Father, for this amazing couple and your growth in leadership and your growth in even prophetic capacity. Debbie, the Lord has increased your prophetic capacity twofold. You've always been strong in dreams. You've always been strong in visions. But the Lord says, I have established within you a bedrock of prophetic truth that will come through the gift of prophecy that I have placed within you, and go beyond exhortation and take you into times of teaching people. There has been a closet prophet in you since birth. That's what made you so different from everyone else. Goodness, you were like the young Joseph in some ways, in that God was visiting you in the early years of your life. He gave you wisdom. even getting through schooling and dealing with difficult adult dynamics around you during your formative years. The Lord says the enemy sought to cripple your prophetic calling by religiousizing your personality. Because you're dutiful by nature and highly obedient by nature. But I grew a work of grace in you to the degree you said, I just can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. And out of a season of mourning and grief, you encountered the resurrection of my spirit abiding within you. So the Lord says, this day, consider yourself a prophet in training. And I will bring the resources to you. I will let you know where you have to go and when, and what you have to study and why. But the Lord says, I'm awakening within you a scholastic mind that you will very quickly pick up on concepts and terms. The bedrock of truth has already been developed, and now I am going to build upon that foundation. Now I'm going to develop prophetic foundation within you. A part of your calling as a prophet in training is to be a son of Issachar for the church. For the church, to interpret the signs of the times and give meaning to them, to the corporate church. The Lord says, child, I have given you a great love for the universal church. I've already shared with you the things that break my heart for the corporate church. You've wept for the corporate church. I am so glad I found a human spirit that I can weep through at times, says the Lord. See, I've called you to be one that would know intimacy with the Father. The Lord says part of your calling as a prophet in training will be to make Christians out of Christians. Christians that are soulish in their perspectives and damaged in their personalities. In other words, angry. The Lord says you will be a conduit of my mercy and cause that anger to dissipate, that I can birth within slumbering spirits a desire to walk with God. It will say on your tombstone, this woman walked with God. That's if the rapture doesn't happen first. But it's the signature theme of your life, Debbie. A woman who walked with God. A woman who walks with God. And now I enhance your capacity to walk in my goodness. For I am truly with you, says God. John, you've always been a deacon at heart. Happy for your wife to be up there tinkling the ivories while you're in the congregation sitting on your blessed assurance. But the Lord says, son, this prophetic gig isn't just for your wife, it's for you too. I'm giving you prophetic eyes that you will see in ways you've never seen before, that your prophetic perception and understanding will grow and develop like it never has before. You're going to be a backroom prophetic influence in this house, because you will never miss a heartbeat. You will be able to clarify what's going on in a person's life, and you will be able to at times be led by my spirit and know that what you're sharing with leadership is actually a prophetic dissertation. The Lord says, I'm priming the pump in your life to be a man of the word. I'm going to show you the power of Nehemiah's ministry. as he rebuilt walls. The enemy had destroyed and restored cities for my glory. At the heart of your calling is a man who eagerly desires to see restoration of community, family, and statehood. By nature, you're more an observer in community. It's only with people you're very, very close to that you chill enough to bring out your humor, that you chill enough to kind of goof around for a while. But the Lord says, son, your need of community is intensifying. And this is a work of my spirit within you. This is a work of my spirit within you. So I am harnessing you together as yoke fellows, says the Lord. I place a new, a fresh yoke over your heads as a couple and say, be yoke fellows as you move forward in my anointing, for I am truly with you, says God. God bless you both. Thank you. I'll finish with praying for Dave and Sue. Pastor Dave and Pastor Sue. Amen. Now, thank you, Father God, for this incredibly precious couple. Kingdom expansion is a norm in your thought consciousness and in the desires I am developing within you both. Holy Spirit, the man of God, the Holy Spirit is working in you a deeper desire to discover a new, a fresh language describing the technology of prayer. The Lord says, son, I'm going to author a fresh technology of prayer that will come through your own experience. You're a great explorer. You would have made an awesome scientist, Dave, just working away in a lab and looking at all the compound chemicals and looking for differences in the outcome, even a slight difference in outcome. And I've trained you to be like this. You're very aware of someone's behavior has even changed slightly. You pick things up that you dismiss usually as inconsequential, but later it's proven time and time again to be deeply consequential. The Lord says, I called you first to be a shepherd, and then I called you to be a psalmist as you usher people into my praise and worship. Then I called you to be a senior shepherd of the flock. And when I got you in situ, I started working apostolic flavors within you. You've been a closet undercover apostle for the last couple of years. You're happy to put this on Bob. You're happy to say he's the guy you need to speak to, Apostle Bob. I'm just humble shepherd Dave. Goodbye. Don't call me back. But the Lord says, son, your personal spiritual formation will be in the apostolic. The Lord blesses your desire to shun the title. The Lord honors your heart to only be the real deal whenever you engage with situations. But he honors your heart further, man of God, because you have said to him many a time, I appreciate you've made me the real deal, but I'm only doing this because you want me to do this. There's nothing in you that pushes yourself forward into any situation. I'm increasing your influence in civic society. In the springtime of this year, you will experience a stirring. I need to get moving amongst civic society again. I need to discover what's going on in all the groups within Elk River, because I've not called you to just pastor a church. I've called you to pastor a city. And from this moment on, says the Lord, you will experience shifts internally and externally as you begin to pastor the city of Elk River. The Father says to you, Son, the city of Elk River is my gift to you. For my pastoral love in you will be able to reach people in this city that would never darken the door of a church. I will take you on a journey of engaging with the familiar and the unfamiliar. I will provoke even stress within you, because stress is always my way of growing you. You're at your boldest when stress is a cooking in the kitchen and you just say to yourself, wait a minute, I need proper understanding here. I know what I must do next. So there will be a structure of stress that arises in your soul that will propel you forward into the destiny that I have chosen for you. A gradual rethink of much of what you've done and who you are will be necessary as part of this next evolutionary phase in your life. But with the evolutionary phase, there will be a deeper anointing of the revolutionary within you. At heart, you're a revolutionary, but you're so nice with it. Jesus was a revolutionary, but he was so nice with it. The Lord says, Son, because you have committed to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, no matter where they may take you, and no matter where what may happen to you as a consequence, the Father has another gift for you today. And that's the anointing of Christ Jesus. The anointing of Christ Jesus. That you will be able to access the five gifts of Christ Jesus at will, but a lot more gifts besides. For the Lord is a resurrected Lord. I'm going to bring gifts to you that no one has a theology for, but the fruit of those gifts, the fruit of those gifts will diminish even the most fierce critic. The Lord says, I will woo you in your spirit, O Davidic man. I will woo you in your spirit by songs and by emotions, by impressions, with a sense of being in a massive playing field that only my grace will enable you to navigate accurately. So walk in deeper kingdom confidence, for I am with you and my spirit is working in your life, says the living God. Women of God, I've called you to the body, and that's more than evident to all. But the Lord says the burden to be a transformational agent in society is going to grow and birth within you a visionary. You're going to take great delight in kicking the feet away from the devil, because that's the anointing you carry. He's been in a life for decades. One kick from Sue and he lands on his fanny. And you love that. You absolutely love that. He ruined you for the first decades of your life, and you've taken great personal delight in making him suffer. Every woman knows how to make a man suffer, even when that individual is the devil. And the Lord says it's a warfare mindset I've given you. You're a strategist. And the Lord says, unbeknown to you, you've graduated in the army of the Lord to the office of captain. You're presently a captain in the army of the Lord. But the Lord says, soon and against your will, I will make you a general in the army of the Lord. And there will be times you will have a national voice. Your words will be quoted in media, and there will be times you will make statements on radio and television. Yeah, just convert Dave to be your agent about that time. But the Lord says, I see your passion for societal transformation. I see your passion and desire to get your hands dirty. I see your passion to wring the devil's neck. And the Lord says, I will work in you. I will work in you a fresh intensity of spirit as you find a way forward in an exploratory season. For I'm doing a new thing in both of your lives, says the living God. Ken, good to see you. Hi, Gary. Would you like to finish the service, Pastor? I can do it if you want.
I didn't know you were done. We'll have prayer up here. If you need prayer for anything, physical, emotional, if you just need somebody to encourage you, if you need somebody to laugh with, how many know that laughter is good medicine? We got some pretty jolly people up here praying. And, I kind of like to, at times, make a statement against the dread of disease, where he who sits in the heaven laughs and dispels disease. Is that possible? Anyways, we'll have prayer teams up here. Don't forget the meeting if you want information on the caucuses. Great source that God has brought among us with Paul. Just so thankful for that, for who he is and his passion. That'll meet in the library immediately following. Let's stand together. Father, we receive the word of spiritual transformation, spiritual formation. Lord, I need it. I need it, God. We just want to be a people who are navigating in step with the Father. The season that the Big C Church is in this time, in this hour, God, and it does begin with us. It begins with the individuals. So, Father, we want to commit ourselves to spiritual formation, Christ-likeness, devoid of all the religious stuff, the airs, the things that we put on that we think is important. God, that we would know what's important in your heart. Led by your Spirit, instructed by your Spirit, empowered by your Spirit. Move among us, God. Move upon us. We give you permission. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, come on up. Love on somebody. Just give somebody a hug. Just bless somebody. There's coffee out in the lobby. And thank you for being here today.